Brother Sutton's supposed to be here in a night or two, and he said that he's having a lot of fun with that fact that I've moved to Branson for a little while. I think he's getting me all set up to be get in with Jim Baker down there, and that's probably not going to happen. I appreciated the message that we just heard, and toward the end, a very, very significant and important thing was brought up, and that is the entryway, the beachhead that rebellion and stubbornness gives to the devil. And the reason for that happening, I just thought when Brother Wells was mentioning that of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, it says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Yep.
Can't get any more satanic and occult than witchcraft. And the Bible says stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The next phrase is, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord.
Yes.
It's what it leads to.
Yep.
I was thinking today, I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. I've lived quite a while now, and I'm just realizing how naive that I've been where evil is concerned. And it's a good thing, it's not a morbid thing or a negative thing for a Christian to be aware of our enemy.
Right.
We need to know our enemy.
Yes.
And we need to know what we face today. Paul said this, he said, it is now high time to awake from sleep.
Yes,
for now is our redemption nearer than when we were first saved. And Paul said that 2,000 years ago. Think about how it is now. It's time to wake out of sleep.
Amen.
Realize where we are, why we're here, and what we should be doing about it.
Yes.
We need to understand evil. And I want to preach from Isaiah and Romans. Isaiah chapter 59, I'll read a verse. Isaiah 59, I may preach on this entire chapter, the Lord willing, later in the week. But in Isaiah 59, verse 14, if you'll turn there, and then later we'll look at Romans chapter 1 at some verses there. But before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to preach on this subject tonight, truth fallen in the street. Truth fallen in the street. I don't want to keep you standing too long, but there was a very, very famous Russian physicist named Andrei Sakharov. He got sideways with the communists in the Soviet Union, even though he was a very high figure and renowned throughout the world for his scientific knowledge and as a physicist, and they put him in an institution. You know, it's kind of like today they're pushing the idea that if you don't go along with what the progressives and the liberals and so on and so forth, then you're insane, you're crazy. They're pushing it more and more that Christians, Bible-believing Christians, their problem is they're just crazy. That's the way the communists have always operated. And they'll put you in an institution for the insane. That's what they did with Andrei Sakharov. But while he was imprisoned, his path crossed with another prisoner who was a born-again believer. And that born-again believer led Andrei Sakharov to Christ.
Amen.
Years went by and he was released from prison. When he got back to some place of great prominence, the time came that he revisited, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, his place of incarceration. They took him to the cell where he had been held. And he said, it was in here that I reflected on my belief after I had gotten saved. I used to believe, he said, that the greatest power on earth was the bomb. But he said, after I gotten saved, I've come to realize that the greatest power on earth is truth.
Amen.
Amen. That is the greatest power there is in the world, is truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll help us tonight to preach Your Word. Lord, we pray that You'll get honor and glory from it. Lord, that Your Spirit would work mightily tonight to impress Your Word upon our hearts and have Your way with us. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 14, that's a tremendous chapter. The entire 21 verse, tremendous. I hope you'll read it before maybe tomorrow night. But the Bible says in verse 14, judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. It's like a description of American society today. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And then in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," I get this phrase, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." People are doing that outside the church and inside the church. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." We're surrounded by this today in our society. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." See how that's wedged in there amongst all of these terrible things? Disobedient to parents. "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Amen. Please be seated. I want to preach just as fast as I can, so listen as fast as you can, as carefully as you can, and just follow along with me tonight in these verses here in Romans chapter 1. And Romans chapter 1 in so many ways parallels what is in Isaiah 59, chapter 59. It's tremendous, the parallel there. But I want us to notice these verses that I've read tonight and see that there's a natural division, a fourfold division. Four things are brought out. And here's what these four things are. Number one, What is in view in Romans chapter 1 is the dismissal of the Creator. That's been going on in America for a long time. Get God out. Amen. The dismissal is right here in the Bible. The dismissal of the Creator. See, this is what they were doing ages ago. And it has accelerated and accelerated, and it's on steroids today among people. The dismissal of the Creator. And secondly, we'll see this. When the Creator is dismissed, it's right here in the Bible, there is a vacuum filled, and that is a deification of the creature. Amen. The Creator's dismissed. The next thing you know, people are deifying the creation, the creature. And when the creature is deified, you can't help but have this happen. A dissolution of character. Character goes into the cellar. We see that today all over the place. Character is hard to find. In fact, many people don't even know. Now, I tend to say most people don't even know what character is anymore. And it's getting worse and worse. And when you have a dismissal of the Creator, and then the deification of the creature, followed by a dissolution of character, then you have an absolute development of chaos.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the atmosphere in which we're living today, beloved. And Christians need to understand it. We need to understand it with a more intense understanding than ever before. What we have here. Now look at the dismissal of the Creator that's in view here. The dismissal of God represents the ultimate rejection of truth. To say no God. No God. Now notice in verse 21, the first part of that verse, notice the denial that occurs when truth is in the process of being rejected. The Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They refused to do it. They refused to give God the glory. They're just not going to do that anymore. America used to be a place where the people would give God the glory. But across the board, Americans are refusing to give God the glory today. They'll give it to anything and anybody but to God today. In Psalm 14, the psalmist wrote, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." In other words, no God for me. It's a personal decision. Amen. You can think about God if you want to, but no God for me. The Bible says they are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. And the Lord looked down. Remember, He sees it all. He sees all of this. And go back to verse 18, something people are forgetting more and more about with the Joel Osteen types and all of that. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God sees how people are denying Him today. He looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. But they're all gone out of the way. They're all together become filthy. So Christians can also be guilty of denying God. Amen. They cannot give God the glory that they ought to give Him. So here is this dismissal, this denial of God. And then when you go on, look at the second part of verse 21. You see that as the Creator is being dismissed, there's something else that comes into play. And that is, there is this darkness that is the outcome when truth is rejected. And it doesn't matter what truth you reject or how much of it you reject, just to the degree that you or I reject any truth, there's some darkness our hearts are going to become a little darker. Amen. In verse 21, he goes on and says, neither were thankful, but they became vain. See how this leads into this? Because they knew God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. People are brought up in good churches. They're taught about God. They hear sermons on the attributes of God, the names of God. They're taught all about God. And then they turn right around and they're not thankful for that God. They reject that God. They run out into the world in spite of the truth that they know about God. The Bible says, then they become vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Watch what happens when this darkness begins to settle in. The Bible says they profess themselves, professing themselves to be wise. Here's what they become. Fools. They think they're smart. But really, the Bible says they're fools. They hear the truth in the churches and they make a purposeful, deliberate, personal decision to walk out, and they think they're smarter than everybody else. Those dummies down at the church. Those old fogies down at the church. Those people that are being brainwashed down at the church. I'm too smart for all of that. The Bible says, God says, they actually have become fools.
Yep, that's right.
It's right here in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
I'm not making this up. It's right here in the Scripture. It's a description. What we have here and what we have today really is a description of the days before the flood.
Yep.
I mean, you read there in Genesis chapter 6, it's a dark situation.
Yep.
Amen. It's a deep, deeply dark situation. And we won't get into that tonight, but there's some real deep, dark stuff here. In Genesis 6 and 5, the Bible says God saw. There it is again. Hey, God is not looking the other way. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that here's the word imagination, it's here in Romans 1. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, here we are, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, man, they're having a big time. They're really, I mean, they're living it up. You know, it's just like today. I was preaching up in New York a while back, and they were bragging about how that somebody in the church was getting married, and the family members of the bride, brother, on that marriage, they spent something like $40,000 just for the wedding reception and all of that. All of this kind of thing going on today. And they were doing it, just living it up until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they still didn't get it. They still didn't pay attention. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The conditions are ripe for Jesus to come back in this society. So you have here the first thing that comes to view in Romans 1 here in our passage is the dismissal of the Creator. And then, the next thing that you see after the Creator is dismissed, you see the deification of the creature. The Creator is dismissed, Brother Josh. When the Creator is out of your mind and out of your life, man is so constituted, he's gonna worship something. And so it's right here in the Bible. Verse 23 says, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. The first part of verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Amen. They worship the creature. They worship man. And it's so foul. They worship the greatest lowlifes on planet Earth. Which are congregated in places like Hollywood, California. They're God haters. They're filthy beyond imagination. And yet people worship them. Amen. The same goes for these NBA players and the football players and all of that. Amen. They worship them. Amen. There's a reason they have all these ball games on Sunday. It's not an accident. It's a backhanded slap at the throne of God. So the concept of God's changed here. In verse 23 and verse 25. You know why this happens? Why people dismiss the Creator and begin to deify the creature, including themselves and anything and everything else? You know why that happens? It happens as a result of a creeping humanization. Everything is all about me. It's all about us. This kind of thing happens because of a creeping humanization. And at the same time, listen to this, a trivialization of God and the things of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, it makes my skin crawl how that people trivialize God and the things of God. They talk about the big man in the sky. Yeah, me and God are just like this. Amen. God is my co-pilot. The trivialization of God. The trivialization of the things of God. Telling jokes about God. Jokes about deacons. Jokes about preachers. Jokes about the church. And little ears are listening to all of that garbage. And it's a trivialization of God. Words are important. Words convey thoughts. Words implant and instill thoughts. Little ears are listening. And when God is being trivialized, it's not a funny matter.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. The concept of God has changed here. The center of worship has changed. It's right here in verse 25, the last part. It says, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So the center of their worship is changed. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about self-worship. It's not worship of God anymore. It's worship of me. It's worship of somebody else. God have mercy on Bible-believing Baptist people here and there who have set up their pastors to worship them.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, they do that. They paint big murals of them on walls. Amen. I was in a church a while back. They had a bust of the pastor, preacher. He's still alive. I'm telling you, that bust was as big, every bit as big as that pulpit of that pastor. He's alive. He's still alive. Even if he wasn't alive, he shouldn't have any big bust of himself. I'm not talking about any mainline Protestant church. I'm talking about an independent Baptist church. If that's not idolatry, you tell me what it is.
Amen.
So the center of worship changed. It's paganistic, insane. It's narcissistic. They worship the stars. And I'm not just talking about astronomy now. Did you ever wonder why they call these Hollywood figures these lowlifes in Hollywood? Now, they're souls for whom Christ died. But they are disgustingly lowlife. Lowlife. Getting paid millions and millions and millions and millions to strip and simulate on worldwide TV, the most gross acts that a human being is capable of. And are paid millions to do it. And they call them stars. They call these vulgar, liquor-swilling, whore-mongering sports figures stars. You know, I was thinking about that one time. Stars, it makes me think of some stars that Jude talked about. In Jude 13, he said they're like raging waves of the sea. Foaming out their own shame.
Yep.
Does that sound like it?
Yep.
Amen. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Every dog has its day. And I'm telling you, brother, these dogs are going to have their day.
Yes, sir.
If they don't turn from their wickedness and turn to Christ and humble themselves before the God of heaven and get saved. See, we're talking, you know, another thing comes into play here, contemporary worship.
Amen.
I mean, how nutty has it gotten today? All over the place.
Yeah.
They have what they call blended worship.
Yeah.
They have big signs. Have you seen the signs? They have traditional worship in the morning and contemporary worship at night. Well, one of those has got to not be the best.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Bible believers should have no part of this stuff.
Amen.
It's all about the worship and feeding the sensual lust of man. It's all about us. It's all man-centered.
That's right. Sure is.
Amen. Amen. People get, we were talking about it today, people get more concerned. They throw themselves into almost a worship of the Word of God, I'm talking about the KJV now, more so than the God of the Word. They get fixated on anything and everything but God Himself. Amen. I'm not putting down the KJV, but I'm saying we need to lift Him up higher and higher and higher. They worship the creature more than the Creator. Thomas Watson, an old timer back in the 18th century, I think, he said this. Now listen carefully. He said, another subtlety of Satan is to draw men to evil under a pretense of good. Now we'll just start having our services adjusted this way to appeal more to people, give them what they want. Won't that be good? He said, the pirate does mischief by hanging out false colors. So does Satan by hanging out the colors of religion. He puts some men upon sinful actions and persuades them much good will come of it.
Yep.
He tells them in some cases that they may dispense with the rule of the Word and stretch their conscience beyond that line so that they may be in a capacity of doing more service as if God needed our sin to raise His glory. That's what Thomas Watson said. That's where we are today. Well, you have the deification of man here. When man deifies himself, deifies a creature. And by the way, that's why you be driving your car down the road. You ever done this? I have. You're driving your car down the road and you look over and here's somebody pushing a dog or a cat in a stroller. Have you ever seen that? I've seen that many times. Oh, they're going down the road and they're pushing this and they got a dog or a cat up there in the stroller. Amen. Have anybody seen these television commercials? I wrote a blog on this. Where they have all these, I mean, it's a long commercial. They got all these sad, trembling, shivering dogs and cats and they're in cages and they're looking real sad and their ears are bent down and all that. And the voiceover say, "There, if you didn't see the dogs and cats, you might think they were talking about babies that are being murdered.
Yeah.
They don't have a chance. They're on the very cusp of being killed. They're about to die. They need help. It's urgent. Send $19 a month.
Yeah.
And it's all about dogs and cats. Now, I'm not against dogs and cats. I like dogs. But I'm telling you right now that all of the dogs and the cats in the world are not worth one baby created in the image of God. Not one. Not one of them. At the same time, it may be 20 minutes later, they'll run a commercial again asking for $19 a month for children at Shriners Children's Hospital or St. Jude's. Both of them appealing, one for children and the other making a plea for comforts for dogs and cats. How sick can people be in a society? How absolutely unashamedly sick and perverse can people be? And those people that are all hung up on the comforts of dogs and cats are probably all for abortion. Amen. Did you hear that out there in radio land? That's what it's all about. And it's sick and it's upside down. Amen. The dissolution of character. I mean, you don't have much character. If you're pandering to dogs and cats. You ever seen people kiss a dog on the mouth? They don't know much about dogs, Brother White. I don't know what dogs do. Amen. People have gone absolutely nuts. Talk about the insanity of sin. It's all around us. That's the insanity of sin. I like to kiss my dog on the mouth. Well, so much for that. But here's the dissolution of kind. Here's a solemn, sombering truth in view right here. Now notice what happens in this dissolution of character. Number one, notice the acquiescence that's in view. People say this is what we want to do. God comes to the point where God says, okay, you can do that. Yep. If that's really what you want to do, I'll let you do it. Yep. It's right here in our scripture. Verse 28, here God tells us, they did not. Why God does it? He lets them get by with it, allows it to happen. Because of this, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I was reading this afternoon. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Sometimes people don't say it, it goes through their head. I don't like to go to church. I don't like to hear, really, I don't like to hear that preaching. Yeah. They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. See what's happening when people dismiss God and when they deify the creature, they become their own God. What is happening there is a certain kind of a brain rot is setting in. Amen. A brain rot has set in. When people dismiss the creator and they deify the creature, that brain rot is taking place. It's because of this spiritual brain rot that people applaud the killing of babies. That people want to turn their own little boys and girls, take them and have a sex change operation. There's a brain rot in play.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. So the time came, they kept that attitude a little too long. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind. See, this is where our society is headed. And the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now look at the same language here, talks about the coming of Antichrist. Just before the Antichrist comes on the scene, as he's ready to make his appearance, this is the way it is in society, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's not enough just to put up with the truth. God is looking for people who love the truth.
Amen.
Amen. That they might be saved, and for this cause, because they didn't have any love for the truth, watch this, God shall send them strong delusion. Some brain rot sets in. So much strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but, last verse in chapter 1, have pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. We've got an advanced case of mental illness going on in our world. And it's the insanity of sin. It's what people get when they change their concept of God and they change their worship of God for the worship of something else. Some change is good. I mean, we know that. Some change is really good. I'm not against all change. Some change is really, really good. But some change is not good. And our people have been headed down the wrong path.
Right.
Appreciated what was said by Brother Shepherd about going down the wrong path. There's a way that seemeth right unto man.
Yeah.
Looks like a good path.
Yeah.
But the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah.
Amen. Now I just want to give you another quote from a 19th century, 1838. This was written by a man named Ralph Wardlaw. Wrote a commentary, two big fat volumes on Proverbs, tremendous. Here's what he said on Proverbs 24 and 21. It says, my son, fear the Lord. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Ralph Wardlaw said, think about this when you think about what all of these politicians are trying to do today. What all of this bloated, oversized, wicked, putrid government is trying to do. Want to change everything.
Yep.
They want to change us into a socialistic, communistic country.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
They want to change things like the traditional home and marriage.
Right.
Amen. They want to change all of these things. They're given to change. Wardlaw said, the men against whom we're here warned are men of a discontented, unsettled, fascist, turbulent, revolutionary spirit. Men who can be satisfied with nothing as it is, think Antifa and Bernie Sanders and the Squad and all of the Democrats and their fellow travelers on the Republican side, who with a mighty conceit of their own wisdom talk and act as if they thought the world would never be right but under their dominion. And they boast of what a world it would be could they but get all their own way. They are such seditious demagogues as keep a country for any purpose or for none in a perpetual ferment. Sound familiar?
Yes, sir.
Whom nothing pleases, who are thankless for the liberty they have, however far surpassing that enjoyed in other nations, because this or that is not entirely to their mind, who look to their real or imaginary grievances much more than to their many and valuable privileges, who are ever finding dead flies in the precious ointment. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's these people who take the knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. When the flag is being saluted.
Right.
Amen. That's these people who rip up the presidential address.
Yes.
I'm telling you, these are rotten, demonically inspired, driven people.
Yes. Yes.
They're ever finding dead flies in the ointment and turn all to unsavoriness so that even the sweets of the greatest amount of liberty enjoyed by any nation under heaven would to them be turned to bitterness by whatever little circumstances if the Constitution or administration, not exactly to their mind, should from time to time discover itself. Amen. Change. Now notice then the abandonment in view here. In verse 24, wherefore God gave them up. This is what it comes to. God gave them up.
Yep.
Verse 26, God gave them up. He says it again. Verse 28, God gave them over.
Yep.
America is not immune,
yes, sir,
to God giving us up and giving us over.
Right.
I'm telling you, if this country, if people in this country understood the importance of truth talkers and truth livers,
yes, sir,
and the truth and the New Testament church and what it's all about, they would all be falling on their faces thanking God for things like this that are going on tonight.
Amen.
But they don't get it because their brain rot is too far advanced.
Right.
Amen. That doesn't change anything. We still have the truth.
Right.
Amen. We're still here. Do thyself no harm. We're still here. Amen. And when they're abandoned, two things happen. Right here in verse 24, there's the dishonoring of their own bodies. I'm going to make this really snappy. The dishonoring of their own bodies. You know what God wants? When you read this stuff here, there's no mistaking what it's talking about. That's why dress is important.
Amen.
That's why we don't want even the suspicion that we are not celebrating the sex that God made us.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's not a hard thing for me to do. It's easy for me to do. To look like a man.
Right.
I don't want to look like a woman. I don't want anybody to think anything about me that I might want to look like a woman. I don't want to be womanish.
Right.
And a woman shouldn't want to be mannish.
Amen.
Amen. If you cannot figure out what that involves, think about it.
Yeah.
Well, amen. This is serious stuff.
Sure.
This is not some preacher riding a hobby horse.
Right.
This is serious stuff.
Sure.
How people dress in conformity to their gender.
Right. Amen.
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 The church is supposed to be the salt and the light and standing for truth, not mixing in and falling into lockstep with a God-forsaking society.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, you don't know anything else to preach, but they, you know, see, that's what you think.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a whole lot of people in churches like this. Two things. The dishonoring of their bodies. Number two, the demonstration of their vile affections. I remember the first time I saw a man kiss another man. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was parked and I looked up. It was back in the 70s, I think. Unbelievable. Let me close with this. God is dismissed. The creature's dismissed. The creator's dismissed. Therefore, the creature is deified and character becomes desolate. And then the next thing is, and there is a descent into chaos. We got chaos today. I mean, people don't know whether they're pitching or hitting. Amen. Amen. It's a bizarro world. People becoming inexcusably engaged at this point in everything that God hates. It's right here in the Bible in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same. Amen. They're following the trends and the fashions of this world.
Yep.
Amen. They know God hates that.
Right.
But they're falling right in with the trends and the fashions of this world.
Right.
But it gets worse. When people dismiss the Creator and begin to deify the creature to the extent that their character begins to dissolve and they descend into chaos, it gets worse than the fact that they engage themselves inexcusably in things they know God hates. But they become increasingly entertained.
Yep, that's
by everything God hates. Right here in the last verse, last part, it says they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how cable TV butters its bread.
Yep.
Amen. I'm not against TV. But boy, you better be really careful in your programming. Mm-hmm. I'm not against it. But you just have to be careful. You know what I'm saying. You hear it all the time. People are entertained by what they know God hates. They're entertained by it. That's why some of the most popular shows on television have to do with the demonic now. Devils and vampires and all of that. You know what the number one rated show on television is? The Walking Dead. It's about a bunch of zombies. And in every show, they're going around shooting and blasting their heads off or blowing them to pieces with shotguns. All of this kind of stuff that God hates. But the most recent example of people being entertained by what they know God hates is the Super Bowl.
Go ahead. You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the halftime, what? It starts with an E. Halftime entertainment.
Yep.
You know what the entertainment was? A whole bunch of men and women who could have come right out of the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, sir.
Committing the most lewd acts at halftime in that football game. I couldn't care less if there was never another football game or baseball game or basketball game put on. That's right. I'm telling you, and Baptists better shake their heads and wake up. That's exactly right. Well, I just like my football. You might have a little brain rot going on right now. I don't like it that much. That I'm going to have my children or my grandchildren or anybody else's subjected to that kind of vulgar filth.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.